Instead of being enslaved to our inordinate desires, running endlessly after money, sex, and power to kind of fill ourselves up so we know who we are, so we can have a little bit of happiness in life. Instead of being enslaved to those desires, now we are following a different desire. We are alive to the desires of the Holy Spirit who is in us.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and today I want to get right to it. We're talking about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Philip, what does it mean to be alive in the Holy Spirit?
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is what is the gift that God gives us when we trust in Jesus Christ. He comes in, he regenerates our lives, he makes us alive, he seals us for the glories that are coming, and he's our sanctifier. He's the one who is changing us, growing us, making us new. God on the inside, transforming our lives. And so the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has his own desires. He longs for things. He yearns for, he's pushing in a direction in our lives. And as followers of Christ, we can sense that separate but in us longing that is pushing us toward godliness. He's convicting us of our sin. He's grieving when we mess up, and he's desiring righteousness and holiness, and he's pushing us toward Christ. And so to be alive to the Holy Spirit means to pay attention to that, to respond to that, to yield to that, surrender to that. And as we walk in the Spirit, that's how we become more like Jesus and imitate our Father.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we'll learn and discover what it means to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. This is part 3 of the sermon, Children of Light, and we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21.
Friends, in the light, our relationships with money, sex, and power are being radically transformed. Radically transformed. We are imitators of God, following the way of Jesus, filled with the Spirit. We are children of light with radical generosity, holy sexuality, and sacrificial service. We are living for the kingdom. We are alive to the realities of the new creation. We are a light shining in the darkness. So this is the second dimension of our transformation. Upward, be imitators of God. Outward, be children of light. And now inward, be filled with the Spirit. Our upward transformation as children of God ought to lead to this outward transformation as living as children of light. But the question is, how? And this comes from the inward transformation that comes from being filled with the Spirit. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Friends, navigating this dark world as children of light requires great wisdom and care, doesn't it? We're behind enemy lines, as it were. And so we are not to foolishly lean on our own understanding, but instead understand what is the will of the Lord. That's what's most important. And what is the will of the Lord? Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The will of the Lord is that you and I might be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Paul contrasts being filled with the Spirit with getting drunk with wine. It's fascinating. What's up with that, by the way? That's a little weird. All right, well, let's think about it. When a person is drunk, we say they're under the influence, right? Under the influence. Something else has entered in and taken operational control over their choices in their life, right? Paul is saying, for children of the light, imitators of God, following the way of Jesus, something else has entered in our lives and taken operational control over our choices and our life. And it's called the Holy Spirit. And we are called to listen to him, to yield to him, to defer to him. to keep in step with Him, because we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you see? Instead of being enslaved to our inordinate desires, running endlessly after money, sex, and power to kind of fill ourselves up so we know who we are, so we can have a little bit of happiness in life, instead of being enslaved to those desires, now we are following a different desire. We are alive to the desires of the Holy Spirit who is in us. This is what Paul says in Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25, as he unpacks this reality to a different group of people. This is what he says or writes. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. What are those? Money, sex, power, right? For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Back to Ephesians. It's a passive command, just like the one back in chapter 4, in 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. A passive command. Passive. You can't do it. It has to be done to you, and yet it's a command to obey, which means our job is to allow it, to welcome it, to receive this work in our lives. It's a continuous verb, which means this filling is an ongoing, daily tethering to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What does that look like? Well, word pictures sometimes help me. Have you ever seen one of those refueling aircraft? They have the big boom that comes out of the back of them, and the fighter jet flies up underneath and it connects, and all the fuel then flows from that big tanker down into the fighter jet below, right? The tanker has all the resources that fighter jet needs. The fighter jet's job is to get in position and stay there and let it flow. The fighter jet can't get those resources any other way but to get in position and stay in position. And friends, that's our job, to get in position and stay in position as the resources of the Holy Spirit flow into our life and change who we are. How do you know if you're being filled by the Holy Spirit? How do you know? Paul's going to give us four evidences of a Spirit-filled life. Verse 19a. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's odd, isn't it? The first thing on his list of Spirit-filled living is worship in community. Worship in community. Why would that be? Now think about it. If the Spirit's aim is to help us imitate God and follow the loving way of Jesus with others, then his whole strategy is to get our attention focused on God and to bind us together in loving community so we can live out this way of love with one another. And where does that happen? In the body of Christ, in the church, in the family of God, where we gather and address each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The Spirit leads us to the worship of God and the loving enfolding of a life in community. This is what he does. The second evidence is in 19b, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. The second evidence of the Spirit's filling is a heartfelt, joyous praise and devotion of genuine affections that have been cultivated for Christ. Singing is an intimate thing, isn't it? We sing with people we love. And the Spirit is cultivating genuine, heartfelt, loving affections for the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of who we are, heart transformation. The third evidence is in verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third evidence here is thankfulness, thankfulness. Instead of the insatiable discontentedness of running always after money, sex, and power, those who are led by the Spirit here have discovered that the Lord is their portion and the joy of their life, who gives them security, significance, and satisfaction, and are therefore brimming with thankfulness always and for everything. For every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, James 1:17. And from him and to him and through him are all things. And so the Spirit is filling us with gratitude and thanksgiving. And the fourth evidence is in verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Instead of the self-interested living that drove us in the darkness, using money, sex, and power for ourselves, it was all about us. Now the Spirit is reversing all of that, you see. He's teaching us to be imitators of God, to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And as the Spirit leads us, we begin humbly submitting ourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. We put other people's needs ahead of our own. We defer to one another. We serve one another. We submit to one another. Just as Christ submitted himself to the Father and put our needs ahead of his own, now we are called to submit to one another in loving, self-giving, sacrificial, and God-pleasing ways. And friends, don't you see, we are transformed under the influence of the Spirit. We are transformed under the influence of the Spirit. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've given your life to him, you have the Holy Spirit. He's in your life. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit now and forever. But having the Spirit is not the same thing as the Spirit having you. Having the Spirit is not the same thing as the Spirit having you. To be filled by the Spirit is to come under his transforming influence. It's to hand over your whole self and hold nothing back. C.S. Lewis writes this in Mere Christianity. The terrible thing, the almost impossible thing, is to hand over your whole self, all your wishes and precautions to Christ. It is far easier than, but he says, it is far easier than what we are all trying to do instead. For what we are trying to do is to remain what we call ourselves, to keep personal happiness as our great aim in life, and yet at the same time be good. We are all trying to let our mind and heart go their own way, centered on money or pleasure or ambition, and hoping in spite of this to behave honestly and chastely and humbly. And that is exactly what Christ warned us you could not do. As he said, a thistle cannot produce figs. If I am a field that contains nothing but grass seed, I cannot produce wheat. Cutting the grass may keep it short, but I shall still produce grass and no wheat. If I want to produce wheat, the change must go deeper than the surface. I must be plowed up and re-sown. As Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Friends, the key to spirit-filled living is found in surrender. The key to spirit-filled living is found in surrender. For so many years of my Christian life, I tried to change. I wanted to be good. I wanted to be pure. I wanted to be righteous. And so I worked really hard at it. I had accountability partners. I beat myself up more effectively than most people. And I tried hard. But it never worked. Because I was trying to do it in my own strength. I was still in the driver's seat. I was still trying to be in charge, in control of my own transformation. I wasn't willing to let God drive. And I'm telling you, friends, the only real lasting change that has ever come into my life, and it comes and fits and starts, has come when I learned to surrender, to yield, to submit, to obey, to keep in step with the Spirit. He leads, I follow. Not running ahead, not lagging behind, keeping in step with the Spirit. Friends, the deep transformational change that God wants to do in your life is you cannot do it. You cannot change yourself the way God wants to change you. Only God can do this work. Our job is to stay in position. Stay in position. Be filled with the Spirit so that you can become an imitator of God and live as children of light. This is who you are. You know, sometimes I think growing up, in my tradition, we saw the excesses of people that claimed to be Spirit-led, and there was some craziness going on in the world. That's not what God's talking about here. But the danger is that we swing the pendulum the other direction. And having seen excesses over here, we forget that the greatest miracle has taken place and that God moved into the heart of your life and is doing a transformational change that you could never do on your own. And if you would stop insisting on your own way, stop holding on to your habits and the things that you've wrapped your little soul around in life with money, sex, and power, if you would say no to those desires, crucify them, lay them down at the foot of the cross, and yield to the Spirit and say yes to his desires and follow him into life and glory, you could be changed in ways you can't even begin to imagine. God wants to change you. You can't do this on your own. So we begin by saying, help, Lord Jesus.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're with us today as we ponder this inward change of heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor Philip, some of our listeners may be saying, well, wait, this yielding to the Holy Spirit, does that mean I'm just a robot now? I'm just following orders and I don't have any say in anything? What does it look like when we're actually yielding to the Holy Spirit?
Well, let me give you an example from my life. So I've got teenagers in the house, and one of the things I noticed with one of my kids was that they were kind of acting up, you know, like kids can do. And I was finding myself growing irritable and short-tempered and impatient and a little frustrated at the behaviors. And so I was getting snippy and I was getting short and responding in ways that were not godly. They weren't reflective of the heart of Christ, right? So So I say, okay, oh, hold on. I could feel the Holy Spirit's grief at the person I was in those moments. I felt not only the conviction of my own conscience, but I could feel the Spirit of God going, oh man, that's not who you're meant to be, right? So then what do you do? What do you do with that, right? You can double down and say, well, she hurt me and this happened, or what, you know? Or you can confess your sin and say, God, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. Those attitudes are not honoring to you. I'm confessing my anger, which is what it is. And anger comes from not getting what I want, which is I'm feeling disrespected right now. And so I'm bristly. And that, so now I'm angry and it's because of my pride. So I need to confess my pride too. And then I think of the Lord and I, you know, and this was a process of a period of days, but just like every morning I would get up and I would say, Father, I want to remember how you've treated me in the gospel through Jesus Christ. You've been patient and loving and kind. You've been gentle with me. You don't snap at me. You sent your son to die for me on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Like mercy, mercy, mercy and grace coming toward me. You never move the standard of justice, behavior. My sin is still wrong. And yet you love me in spite of that and come toward me to redeem me. And that's the kind of love I'm called to show to my daughter, right? To my teenage kids. And so then say, okay, what would that look like, Father? Right? And I know my kids and I know their love languages and I know kind of, you know, how I can reach out to them. And so there were very pragmatic things I could do to overwhelm with love and to be very proactive and step out into those spaces. And so then deliberately choosing those things, putting them on my calendar and reminding on my tasks to do the things that I know will reach out and show love in meaningful ways. And so you just do that and you say, Father, help me. When I don't feel like it, help me. Be my strength, be my portion. Lead me, guide me. I want to yield to you. Holy Spirit, love through me into these relationships. And then just go do it, right? And not in your own strength, but trusting that the Holy Spirit goes with you. And that's the help, Lord Jesus, right? Because that's, we need help every step of the way. So it's that organic at the end of the day, I think.
What a great practical illustration, though, that you give. I heard you say that you acknowledge the feeling. I had this feeling, but I'm not going to be controlled by it.
Yeah. Making deliberate Godward choices in the power of the Spirit to walk in righteousness that maybe I don't impulsively feel in my flesh, but trusting that the Holy Spirit longs to be that in me and that actually he's got all the resources I need. So his desires for righteousness are starting to trump my own desires for respect and getting back at people. It's starting to change me. And I would encourage all of our listeners, it's as simple as that, just opening your heart in prayer, dependency upon the Lord, inviting the Holy Spirit to lead, and just say yes and step out in faith.
Well, next time we'll continue our study in Ephesians in chapter 5, where Paul is going to talk to us about marriage. You know, we can all grow in dependence on God. If God told you no to your most earnest prayer, would you be tempted to feel abandoned? Pastor Lutzer's book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, challenges us to see that when God denies a request, it's never a harsh or uncaring no. Instead, he gives us grace so that Christ's power can rest upon us. Discover how to accept what God has for you and live in complete dependence upon him. That's why, for a limited time only, we're offering Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com or 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media. and is sponsored by The Moody Church.